record. Okay, it is July 1st, 2018. Mm-hmm. We are going to finish up letter number 16 in Screwtape Letters to the Churches. So, wanted to start with the idea that that a main reason for staying at a church is that it meets your needs. Or the flip side of that, when a church, either or both, or the flip side is if a church doesn't meet your needs, is that a legitimate reason to leave?
Okay. I would think so. Yeah, why? I had that experience. I mean, it was like the Methodist church I went to, I wasn't getting anything out of it. I was sitting there and just my mind would wander during the service and it was just, it's like, why was I here?
Good.
And I think a lot of that had to do with the pastor, because the pastor before that, I learned a lot from him. So I think that has a lot to do with it too.
Okay.
Yeah, it does.
And so that was more from the teaching side, the learning, you just weren't getting anything?
No.
Okay.
I can't remember the conference or who the youth speaker was, but I remember being in church and there was just nothing for youth, nothing whatsoever. And the family were just energetic and wanting to be involved in church, and they loved the Lord dearly, but after that it was just dead with church participation. And I remember whatever conference I was in, it was a psychologist, a Christian psychologist, and I just mentioned it, and he says, change churches. Very quickly, this was his reply. And I don't think we did. I know we didn't, because we've been there for a lifetime, almost. And but things began to develop so that they had a youth pastor coming in, and things evolved nicely for a youth group. I mean, it didn't happen immediately, but it was a progression.
Okay. So in those kind of situations, is there some idea how long you wait? Because obviously they didn't meet the family's needs right away. But eventually they were going to move that direction. So how do you gauge that, I think, is different. And I want to go with both directions with that. So yours was a teaching. There was just no content. There was just nothing. There was no scripture to really chew on and interact with. And yours was, they didn't have a youth program or other churches that might be a children's program.
No depth whatsoever for the young people, just a kind of a cold worship service.
Okay.
But they had a spiritual father at home. My husband was very adept at leading them at home into spiritual things. So that was a plus, even though they weren't really fed at church with worldly activities. I'll say worldly, whether it was a Little League games or whatever. They had those opportunities.
Okay. So if you, let's take us back a few years. So you have kids from early teenagers to grade school kids. Okay. So you are in a new town, you go to visit a church, no youth program, no children's program. One person in the nursery, but good teaching. And the pastor gives a good message. Do you stay for the sake of the good teaching, or do you find something that has good teaching plus something for your kids and your team?
I think it again depends on the family structure.
Okay.
If I felt that my children needed to be grounded more completely without any of their own personal private devotions or church camp materials and et cetera, I would have to take them elsewhere.
Okay. Thoughts?
I wish I would have done that years ago when my daughter was younger.
Okay.
Come to this church or known about this church. Because there really wasn't that much at the Methodist church for her.
Okay.
Maybe that would have helped her. But she doesn't go to church now. Hopefully she will one day.
So she just didn't have a good experience. No, and so, yeah. And yeah, you definitely hear that story. Okay.
Yeah.
Would it change your answer if you knew the church was only a month and a half old? So they don't have a program because they're so brand new, they just haven't gotten to start the programs yet. Would that potentially change an answer or not change your answer?
It could, I would think so. I mean, especially if they were, if you heard that they were trying to start youth programs and other stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
Be only a month that they just started, you gotta give a little bit of chance there.
I feel there my responsibility would be there to support and be in prayer for the support persons in this beginning situation.
Okay. So let me give you two kind of real life situations. One, we as a district are actually involved in a church plant in Brunswick, Maryland. Friend of mine, his dad's a good friend of mine, but Scott Avey left the Frederick Church to go over and start a brand new church. They're meeting in a school building in Brunswick. They've only been open just a few months, and so they've got all these ideas of what they want. Now, right now, they have a ton of kids. He's young, so they're drawing a lot of children there. So they're really getting started with that. But they have plans. Of course, they have a youth program and have all this other. But I would guess that some families come and go, yeah, you're too new. I want something that's already established. Okay. But then you have others who are saying, I'm going to be on the ground floor then. I'll help.
How can I help you build?
How can we help you build? So you may not have all the stuff for my teens that eventually you will, but what can I do to help? So 3 years from now, you have a lot more to offer than you do now. That would really be, that'd be something a family would really have to chew on. I know another family that has left the church because there really was nothing for the kids. It's a good family. I mean, so... So I'm not downing them, but yeah, there's just nothing in that church. It's an older church. So is that a legitimate reason for going? Rhetorical, but we'll come back to that. And then one more situation. This was when I was over at Calvary, and I really wanted to get a small orchestra. I wanted to really develop the music. I had a class act trumpet player. And I had several others that played some things, and so two songs every Sunday, we were doing just hymns out of the hymn book, and I wanted them to play. So we have an orchestra playing, and the congregation then singing to those. But I was just getting that started, and a family visited, tons of musical ability. Actually referred to us by Waynesboro when Roger was there, because they were much closer. Talked to them and they said, I mean, I'm thinking, you guys are going to help so much. And I said, well, we're really looking for something that had an established music program. So they never stayed. At what point do you say, I'll give up what I might enjoy at a different church to help you get to where you want to be? That's a tough call. The family I talked about that left because there's nothing for the kids. I could argue either way on that. There's no real hope. You said if they know they're planning to. I don't know that a couple years from now they would have many more kids than they have now. So.
Really? No.
Yeah, so it's not like they're just getting ready to start it like Scott is in Brunswick. You know, they're just trying to keep track. They've already got like an average of 150 people coming. And the thing's only a few months old.
That sounds really good.
Oh, yeah. So it's just, how do we manage all these people when, I mean, we've got to train up staff, we've got to, you know, they're in a school building, and they, so they have to set up each room they use, and just the logistics of trying to start 10 programs all at once, just.
Well, that, yeah, I can imagine that would be confusing.
Yeah.
Well, so how do you decide? With parents having their children sit in church with them. Now, this was my generation, where the family came in and sat there. And,
yep.
And you might give them some storybooks or something to look at, because, well, but later they did have one of the finest children's church teachers, Mary Michael, a public school teacher who started church programs within the Washington County school system, but not a very capable woman in teaching. So she did go into teaching a children's church, and so the children were able to be a part of that, I remember.
Okay, so that's a good rabbit trail. Let's follow that rabbit trail for a minute. And that is, would you... Here's the reasoning behind both of those. And the topic is, should your kids sit together with you in church, kind of the whole church time? Some of the thinking is, I mean, we want to learn how to worship as a family. Okay, so we want it. And the society already splits us up so much that, you know, we don't need to come to church of being split up. And I'm really reciting arguments from another good friend of mine. He's with the Lord now, but the family, just wonderful family. But yeah, they were already so fragmented that at church, there's the discipline of sitting, you know, as a young child.
Oh,
you have to learn.
For me, I remember that when I was a kid.
I do too, yeah. I remember, because Mom would sit clear in the back, because I just couldn't sit still, so I would be up and back on the pews.
Oh, I remember one time.
Old hardwood pews.
Yeah, and then the floors were hardwood, and I remember, I don't know how old, six maybe. I was sliding under the pews. I went the whole way up.
Oh, did you?
The whole way up.
Yeah. So that's some of the thinking, is that, you know, we're going to do this together. They have to learn how. They need to learn how to listen to something and try and get something out. And then the parents would follow up. So
yeah.
There's that. And then the other, which as a church, obviously we've kind of adopted this. Why not better? How'd everything go?
I don't think there was. I never heard of children's church. There wasn't that back.
It's a fairly new kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So everything go okay, smoothly enough?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Topic is right now. Alma got us down a rabbit trail, but I thought it was a good rabbit trail. And that is this modern movement. And modern, I don't want to put it. I don't know how many years, but it is fairly modern. It's more modern than when I was growing up. Okay, so the idea is, do we have the whole family stay together in church the whole time? Because society's already fragmented. We don't need to fragment them in church. They need to learn the discipline of sitting still. They need to, what do we have here?
I'll take one.
We've got goodies. Sorry, people on the tape, you weren't here. You don't get any of the goodie snacks. So, do we keep them together as a family, and then it's up to the parents to be able to kind of help the kids understand what the message is about and do something with that? Or what we've adopted now is...
Twist my arm.
Like right now, they sit in, of course, second service. That's our children's church time. Second service, they sit in for the music, and then they bring them out, and... The thought is that Dan's message is not geared for young children. Okay, so why not have the lesson geared specifically for a particular age group? Okay, something that they will understand. Give them some time to get up and move. Yeah, you said you used to crawl up and down the...
down on my stomach, up and down.
And I used to just go down the pew and up the pew, down the pew, and just back
you
and forth.
You were walking, I was sliding.
I seem to remember mostly I was just on my belly, just kind of...
I wasn't allowed to move, so I was just close.
Yeah. So the idea is, okay, let's tailor this like they do in school. I mean, nowadays, you don't put a senior in with a second grader. obviously years ago you had one room schoolhouses where, you know, and I don't know how they possibly worked all that out, but so in school we recognize that kids learn at different rates, they learn different ways. You know, you can't teach a Bible lesson to a second grader the same way that you do to a junior in high school. Okay, well, we all recognize
that's
that.
That's why we have the division.
Yeah.
We don't have little kids.
Okay.
When we're teens, yeah. Adults, we're more mature.
So we've created Children's Church. Okay. Right now, besides nurseries, there's just one group. I think we'd like to split that back out because you do still have like first graders and fifth graders in the same group. So I don't know how Jim is doing one lesson to try and hit both of those, you know, those extremes. So which is better? What's the advantage of one? I've given you a few, but I mean the topic is still church. So now this is how we run church. Are we just aiding to the fragmenting of families by splitting the kids off here, there, and everywhere? Or is that really what's best for them?
It's probably better for them because you can teach them at their level. They get more out of it than sitting in church. I know I didn't get anything out of church when I was a kid. I was too busy running down the aisles to go to the pews.
I think
playing with my Barbie dolls.
Children's church is nice, especially in those younger,
sit-still
phases.
Exactly.
But by a certain point, that discipline of sitting still and listening, and
it's hard.
If I could design a church my way, there'd be like school desks or like an airplane where you'd have something you could bring down and take notes. Quiz after.
In church itself.
In church
okay.
itself,
yeah.
Yes. Because, I mean, you've preached from the pulpit. How many times have you seen people sleeping and people trying to balance a Bible, a notebook, everything else on their lap?
Although the worst is I learned my lesson at the Winchester Church. There was a balcony. We gave out the new directories before the service started. So I'm at the balcony watching all these people, and they just got there. I mean, like 90% of the people. It was hilarious.
The pastor's up there going, "Oh, I love to hear those pages turn."
Yeah, really.
You need to put a camera up where the pastor is, and then we can flip it over.
Yeah, it was.
This is what the congregation is like.
So we made to follow up with that, Michelle. We made a conscious choice at what age. So for here, sixth grade, you're in church. Fifth grade, you're in children's church. Okay. We were asked to do a middle school children's church. We decided not to. Thoughts? The logic was the same. Sixth, seventh, and eighth graders still can't grasp on the level that you would hope high school and adults can. So let's tailor something higher than the kids, but below what Dan is going to be target, because his target is not a sixth grader.
I got a follow-up question to that. Is it just my imagination, or are sermons longer than they used to be?
I would say they're shorter as a general rule.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know some churches will have like a little period during the church, never been a fan of it myself, where they bring the kids up and they do the little kid lesson and then the kids dismiss from there.
Yeah.
But just a thought, if the pastor had a sermon that started off like with kind of the high level, it would affect the pastor's approach. And then it's like, okay, they kind of got the beginning of it, and y'all go and they could talk about what they listened to at their level, and he could go on into the deeper stuff that the people still really want.
I like the way this church does it, because the brethren church that I went to right before I came here, I very seldom stayed for church because it was just boring. It was the same old thing, and I wasn't getting anything out of it. Sing three hymns, stand up, sing another hymn, stand up, sing another hymn, have a 10-minute sermon, and it's like, I was missing something. I'd stayed for Sunday school, but it's just...
I think the premise is, I think we assume too much.
We do what?
I think we assume too much.
I
agree that there needs to come a point where kids are done doing kid things and they start learning how to do adult things.
Right. Yeah.
But I think we're assuming we've got the adult part nailed down, and I don't necessarily think we do all the time. I guess my question, we were talking about this with our friends yesterday, was where this whole notion of the church service as it looks today came from, as far as we command you to do. And pretty much every church on earth does it the same way, within a certain framework. You come in, you do, you have a meet and greet time, then you have your song time slash announcement time, and then you have your message time, and then you leave. And I'm just thinking about that, going, is that really what God had in mind? And I don't know. I don't claim to know. I mean, I have a picture in my head of what I think might be kind of interesting, but you hear the same. You hear the same critiques.
Oh, you twisted.
The same complaints, for lack of a better word, everywhere you go. Well, this part's boring, and I like this part. Well, then you've got the other half of the congregation saying, this part's boring, and I like this half.
But we have that.
We don't have enough music. We have too much music. Mm-hmm. You know, the sermon's too long. The sermon's not long enough. I've been in churches where it was you stand and you did 5, 6, 7 songs, and
wow,
you were bummed out when they were over. Everybody stood for the first 2 or 3, and then it was kind of, you know, you can keep standing or you can sit, or, you know, they're not going to come out and hit you with a stick if you sit down at the wrong time or anything.
Because the conference, I'll stand for the first one, I'll sit for everything else.
you didn't want it to end. And there were some Sundays where, you can call it the spirit or call it whatever, where it would just kind of, it wouldn't end. It's like, well, the speaking part of the service apparently is not going to take place today. We're going to, and nobody was upset. And it wasn't that the speaking wasn't good, but it was like, no, we're singing today. And it was wonderful. And there were times when there, you know, when the message was given. I don't know how much of it we do correct or wrong, basic as far as the format goes.
Yeah, because there's no set format, obviously, in the scripture.
Act like there is, don't we?
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
You didn't have the announcements after the praise. What, are you insane?
We switched for a while and put the sermon right after the meet and greet. Mm-hmm. That did not fly at all.
Oh, really?
All. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, 200 years ago, happened? It was all day service.
They just a lot of complaints. Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you go to a service still in the Navajo land, you better be prepared for 4 or 5 hours.
Wow.
But you can stand up in the middle, walk out, go get something to eat, because there's food cooking.
Is that a church service?
Yeah. Yep, this is our church service.
See, that's the word. We have this concrete view of what church service means in our head. And we picture that as like, okay, you're going to go out and do your 2 songs. Now I'm going to sit and listen to some guy talk for 5 hours. I don't know anywhere where that will fly.
Alma, because you looked a little surprised. So we went to the one Navajo service out in New Mexico with our mission.
Time
is not an issue. This is such a social event plus a religious event. And it was a religious event, but they just don't see anybody that often. So yeah, you would get there sort of when you got there. And they'd be singing, and then there's food being cooked, and so when you're hungry, and you like, you just got up, went back there, and stood in the back and ate, and then you come back, sit down, join in, and they'd have somebody that'd speak for a little bit, and then.
I wonder if that's the way it should be everywhere.
It was so casual. It was.
Grace used to be, you had no idea when you were going to get out of it, because when you got to Love Feast portion, people would start doing testimonies.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people just would get up and leave when they had to go because it would just go on and on.
So Dan targets about 30 minutes. That's what his target.
I target about
25.
You don't get 10-minute service.
Yeah, that's becoming the trend. So you said you would ask, or think they're getting longer, shorter?
And I do remember maybe it was just other churches. They were usually like 20 minutes. So it is longer for what I'm used to.
Okay.
Not that I'm complaining about that.
The trend is 10 or 15 minute chats. So I've got friends that do the... Now some... he'll be extremely casual. I mean, blue jeans and... I mean, not even a polo, just a t-shirt. But he's still shooting for 30, 35 minutes. But there's others that, they're looking at 10 minute. We're just going to have this little Bible chat with you.
You can't really go there.
And there's others. Mom's only complaint about this new pastor is he preaches too long. He's 50 minutes.
Wow.
Well, what are we here for?
Yeah.
I mean, Sunday morning church service. What is the correct biblical prescription as far as why we meet together on Sunday morning? I mean, is it sermon time? Is it fellowship time? Is it praise and worship? Is it just devotion to God? I mean, where do we get this formula that it has to be, this formulaic time that's broke up into blocks, and the majority of which is devoted to hearing somebody teach a message? See, to me, the bulk of the teaching seems to be better in a group setting rather than in a congregational setting. Yeah, so I'm not saying there's no place for that. I'm saying as far as effectiveness, you're going to remember a lot more of what you discuss in this setting than you will in a setting where you go and sit and listen to somebody speak. I'm not saying there's not a place for that. I'm just saying that I think we get so locked into trying to nail down this formula that we already have, doing it right, rather than looking at, wait a minute, why do we even have this formula? Is there something that would work better? Is there something that we try? Because I'm honestly asking the question. I know in the synagogue, In the synagogue, they pretty much just got together and read scripture, didn't they? Was there more that happened then? And what are we shooting for as far as signing up?
The music?
Why are we here?
What was the early church?
Right. So I think I've done some research in church history, but it's been a while. I think we have largely adopted but modified the rabbinic system, where you would have the rabbi, where you would have the speaker, like when Jesus walked in, picked up the scroll, mm-hmm. where they would not only read scripture because not everybody had it, but then there was a period of teaching. So the rabbi would then expound on whatever was read.
But there was that.
So when Jesus sat down, they're going, okay, come on, you read this, now explain it. And he did give at least some explanation. And there could have been a lot longer than just
gospel
writers did the point. Yeah.
We've taken before or after the organ played.
Yeah, really. So where music came in, Middle Ages, I mean, we're very big on music, and you've got the church hiring world class people that we still know names of, the Bachs and Beethovens and Mozarts and all that. They're now hiring these people to write songs for the service. So now you've got, world-renowned people writing this stuff. So music came in. I don't know exactly, a time frame on any of that. So we've just sort of morphed into, we're not going to play a lot of Mozart on Sunday morning, but we'll shift to, third day or something.
Well, there was always music at some point, because otherwise that's songs.
David.
Sure. Yeah, but kind of that formulaic. I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know how that came in. I think you can play with it however you want to there. But yeah, just finish up my one comment. So when I shifted the message up, because what I wanted is, I just wanted to try something different. And get them thinking right away, and then the songs would tie to the message. So they've heard the message, and the songs reinforced it. That was the goal. But I just got too many complaints. It's like, it's not that big a deal.
I do think one part has to lead into the other. I don't know how it happens, but our music, our prayers, our
we do try and work on that.
Worship,
yeah. So Dan had given us our theme.
Leads into music. I think even the offertory, and I was talking to Chris just last night, but She wanted something patriotic, maybe, but she says, let me see a Yankee Doodle. She says, I don't know about it. But she was trying to think of what would also come into.
Sure.
And it does. It pulls me into worship beautifully, and I don't know how it correlates so well. But do you think, I'm thinking...
I mean, some of that actually is planned. So we knew Dan's topic, we knew his verses... So okay. We picked music to fit, especially one song. Holy,
because
holy,
I
holy.
The topic today, and I think,
who
that?
Picks and how's that
come
together?
And actually, and I forgot to tell you about that. So you are obviously know they're going literally from Cornerstone right into Holy, Holy, Holy.
That's
don't
when you ask how it went. I was like, because I'm waiting for the music to close.
Oh yeah,
and they went boom, and
yeah.
I'm like,
yeah, you get your timing on that one in the second service.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't get it.
What's the beautiful parts about the different activities, whether it's worship, announcements, socializing, and then message, and within the time frame, like you're saying?
Yeah, so we try to.
We have so many different people that education today has taught us that some people are visual learners, some people are hearing, verbal learners, and there's all different ways that we've learned today. That people do learn.
Yes.
You know, the way you study and learn could be totally different than the way my technique is that I begin to understand.
Yep.
So
and obviously
that
the way
has all evolved
the way
into
the four
modes
of us preach are very different. So Ray's style is different than mine, which is different than Jim's, which is different than Dan's. So I'm on next week, so we'll see if everybody's gone, then we'll know, okay, they prefer Ray's style or somebody else's. But yeah, and you're right there. Education has taught us a lot. I think one of the reasons I like starting with music does speak to the soul. I mean, I think it's built that way. One of the things I almost always pray with the praise team is we don't know what people's week has been like. We don't know what their morning's been like.
Sure.
So poor Jim, he's been at camp all week, and then the dog was sick all night long. So he had to get up every hour to go clean up something or track something down. So I'm saying, guys, we don't know what their week has been like. We don't know. You know, they're coming into here with maybe some things just consuming them. And music will have a way of just trying to help to refocus. You know? So our goal is to get kind of folks refocused, even for this little... We're not obviously changing any of the circumstances they have to go back to, but can we focus them so that they're in a better way to listen to what Dan has prepared? So that's our goal for that.
Back to the kids, I know you like the psychology of it, and I know when the kids were smaller... we really pushed a lot of memorization as best we could.
Okay.
And it's, I know like with Awana, there's a lot of memorization. It's like you're supposed to make sure they understand it. And we kind of gloss the understanding because some of it I don't think they can really understand, but they're like sponges. They can remember so much. So like with the separating them out for church, they can go back in their little room, and if they're learning verses and getting it in there, then when they're mature enough to actually start, oh, okay, this isn't John and this isn't Matthew, but it's the same thing.
And actually there's a biblical example and precedent of that where the disciples understood some of the passages and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I get it. You know, what's the verse I'm thinking of especially? It's like, zeal for my house will consume me. And all of a sudden they're going, yeah, it's Jesus flipping tables over, and all of a sudden they start thinking of a verse that they knew but didn't have a context. They're going, oh, when the seas responded and Jesus essentially said, God, waves, just quit. Wind, stop. And they did. They're going, oh, that's right. So we remember some of those about what the Messiah is going to do. So, yeah, there's some precedent to just getting that base knowledge in there, and then the Spirit can kind of build on that. Yeah. So we've got a lot of different rabbit trails, and they're all helpful. They all kind of fit in this chapter. So what we include is actually, Alma, to meet what you said. So some really need the music, and they would be happy for us to triple the amount of music and Dan to give a devotional thought. They would be very happy with that.
No.
Others would go, I need more than... You know, the daily bread, and I'm not knocking the daily bread, but the daily bread is a 2 to 3 minute devotional. I didn't come to church for a 2-minute devotional. Okay, so you've got those. You've got some who really come in about as the music is ending. They just, either they don't like the way the praise team does it, or they're just not music people, and that's really okay. I always wait to come in at youth conference because it's so ridiculously loud.
Yeah, it's...
So I just sit outside. It's plenty loud enough for me outside. And then when that's about winding in, they've already saved a seat for me, so I just go down, have a seat, and all the other stuff. But, anyway, so yeah, we've had lots of pieces, the meet and greet, because... And that I wish we could do more with that. That's why sometimes I would say, okay, you guys in the back, you need to come up front, and greet. Because you're still going to greet. You still greet people, within a half a pew of you.
It'd be neat if you could do that at the end, but everybody would just leave.
Yeah.
Because if you could get them greeting, meeting and greeting, and it would carry on, but now everybody just
leaves. Because we do have, we've got a lot of visitors, but, how many people have really kind of connected with them? So there's lots of pieces. There's no magic formula in there. We're just trying to kind of figure this out. But we do place a priority on preaching. And that's intentional as a church. Dan still spends most of the hours of his work week getting ready for the message. And that's after, 40 years in the ministry? I'm at 36, so he's at least 40 or so. So it still consumes a lot of time.
It works, but I don't know how you incorporate the little injections of clips of special events. You showed us DVBS.
Okay.
There was a time frame, but it worked in beautifully with the whole service. I don't remember anything being cut. I don't remember. Did you set the clock back somehow?
No, unfortunately, what happens often is Chris's offertory gets shifted. Now, she had a regular offertory, but a lot of times, just because, we still want to give Dan time.
And we
want to respect people's time. So if we say we're going to be done around 11:30, they expect not to be 10 minutes of 12.
I appreciate that, and I don't know why. I don't have anything else, commitments or something, but I guess I'd like to know.
We make fun of Baptists that they always get to the restaurants before we do, but... So, back to my initial kind of throw it out there is of what importance or how important is a church meeting your, not spiritual needs, but other types of needs? Is that, and if we're done with that, we'll go on to some of the other discussion questions, but is that a factor? What we talked about while you guys were out serving at Soundboard, it makes a big difference where the church is at. So I set up the scenario where they don't have a children's program, don't have a youth program, and they're saying, we're now parents of young children and a young teen, probably get a look elsewhere. And then I said, except the church is only 2 months old. Changes because they would like to, they just haven't gotten there yet, so now let's become part of building into that new program. Because our new church in Brunswick, a friend of mine pastoring there, they're in a school, they just haven't had time yet to train leaders to get all these programs in place the way they'd like them to. So
I like the fact that there's stuff being done outside the church, like the group we started, the activity group, stuff like that, because then you can meet with people other times of the week, well, even the weekends, but it's just that's another, to me, that's another form of you can just get together and talk about God and whatever else.
Well, one short camp story, because it fit on this. Last week we talked about the need to critique, the need to be a critic, no, to critique without being a critic. Mm. Okay, I was sitting at Campfire Tuesday, and immediately I thought, the music's too loud, the music's too old, the topic is going to be way over their heads, it's too late in the day. I mean, a bonfire you want to have when it's dark. And all of a sudden I thought, oh yeah, I'm just sitting here critiquing everything. I'm a critic of everything that's going on. I thought, that is, I can I can evaluate later. Right now I need to pray for these kids. Because Joe had just started his message, and I was really convicted. It's so easy to go into that. I mean, I'm picking apart everything. And I had a good day. It's not like I was in a bad mood.
What's so easy for us to do?
It really is. Yeah. But I caught myself because I thought of this chapter where what Screwtape is trying to do is to get him to be kind of the ultimate critic of every church.
In your position, that's actually probably a lot harder to avoid because it's also what you do. So you take what you hear someone else do, apply it to your life, do what you do, and apply it to his life. And
yep. And I was serious that Ray, you came into mind. I thought, if we were here, we'd be doing this way. And because Ray just did music there for years and years and years and years and years and years.
What kind of music was it?
What were they doing now, or what did Ray do?
No, what were they doing now?
They were doing youth conference music.
What's that?
It would be take our praise team, go faster, louder, and more motion. So the screens are just kind of doing this. And but I caught myself, and it's like, okay, I can evaluate these things later, and we can decide if, what I need to pray. And one of the kids, he was hilarious because these kids don't pack correctly. He had no jacket, he's got short sleeve shirts. It's cold out there. So I gave him my red coat. It is like down to here. He is tripping over this thing. But he stayed back because he said, I don't know Jesus. He stayed back and talked to one of the counselors. And we all know that that's the first step. There's a lifetime of follow-up to know, what does he understand by his wanting to know Jesus? So there's a ton of follow-up. But I think maybe a part of that is I got out of the critical and just started praying for Joe, praying for the kids, and just looking around at these kids as I was doing it. So that's how the chapter came back to me. So Friday when I was there, immediately my nature kicked in. I'm going, everything she sees, she sings is just kind of too sharp. And it's like, nope, not doing that. Let me go back, start praying for her, praying for the other, praying for the kids. So I just thought when I looked at this church hopping, I thought, that's right. We talked about church hopping. One of the dangers is you just become a critic of everything.
Yes, and that bothers me terribly when I hear people downing a particular church or service.
Yeah, but there still is a room for evaluating. Yeah, so we just have to find that balance and let the Holy Spirit help us with that.
Well, that balance is discernment.
Yes.
I mean, there is a need for critique at some point. Is it doing any good? Is it contributing to an outcome? If you're just whining to whine, which thankfully I never do, I pity those of you who have to deal with that.
There's a big difference between crying.
Should I ask Michelle to confirm that? Or
no, you should not.
No, you should not.
I got it.
Michelle got my head down.
There's a need for the discernment, and I think there's woeful little of that. And that's just looking at something from an aspect of standpoint of wisdom, and is this good? Is this beneficial? That sort of thing. Song choices as far as the style of music or whatever, those things are completely subjective. Okay, I like this song better than this song. I don't want to do this song anymore. Okay, well, why? Are you just complaining, or is it because this song has absolutely no spiritual value whatsoever as opposed to this? Difference between critiquing and criticizing and discernment. Okay, there are some songs that shouldn't be played in church every Sunday. There are some songs that should never, ever, ever, ever be played in church. I think we can all agree with that. Now, if you take one of those songs that should never be played in church and you play it in church, are the people who are calling that out, are they just whining? Are they just being critical? Well, I think that probably needs to be said. If it's a song that, maybe you played it a few more Sundays than you played this song, or maybe this song is a little more guitar-centric as opposed to being keyboard-focused, okay, now is it still the same? Is the same motivation behind that critique? You know, I guess I'm talking about choosing our battles. Kind of got off my track there, but I think there are some things where criticism is necessary. I think it has to do with evaluating your own heart, in which I think you illustrated it was exactly what you were doing when you were thinking those things. You know, what's my motivation for bringing this up? You know, is there a real legitimate reason for me to bring this up? You know, is it to suit my needs or the needs of the congregation? And I think that is the reason. And I come up, and I think it's in Ephesians chapter 4 where he talks about why he put us all together in these little units called community churches. You know, lifting each other up, edification of the body, each part contributing, making each other stronger. You know, he didn't just send us out as little autonomous units, you know, these little robot Christians running around who are not interdependent on each other. He put us together in these community bodies, the local church. The reason for that. And I think if we structure the local church in such a way so that it turns back into a bunch of autonomous single units coming in, okay, now sit over here and listen to the word. You're going to sit and listen, and you're going to sit and listen, and never the twain shall meet. You've completely defeated the purpose of having the local church. Investing in each other's lives, the sense of community, the building each other up, the interaction is a necessary part. So if you're in a church that doesn't put some effort into that, I think you got it wrong. I think that church is missing the whole point. That's why I think things like life groups, Sunday school, where you can get together in a more informal setting, all these different aspects of church are so important. And I'm not going to bring attention to the people who come in late so that everybody's staring at them. But
you came in for, we have 5 minutes. Let me jump in. 5 minutes, one final topic. And you go, why did you just give this 5 minutes? Again?
Take this one with you.
Okay, church. Okay, topic.
Shucks.
Denominations, good or bad?
I'm sorry.
Denominations, good or bad?
Unavoidable.
I think it's
that wasn't
good.
One of my choices.
I think
it's good. Okay, good. Why?
Because
everybody think about it because I want
because
want a
it gets people to think about why do they think this and why do they think that. So why do I think what I think?
Okay.
It just make in person think.
I think it's good for the same reason, and also because if I'm new in town and I'm looking for a place to go to the church, there are certain things on a church sign out in the front of the yard to tell me there's no reason for me to walk in that building.
Okay.
Or that there's a fairly good chance I'm going to fit in somewhat over here. I don't need to go there.
Okay.
I think church doctrine is very important, and yet that would not, like if there was one little simple thing, something I think I said about a while back, I would not have been allowed to join the church because of baptism. Even
thing,
though I was immersed and proclaimed testimony and etc. But I still respect the fact that that is important to the church. And I think if I can't agree or they can't accept it because, right away they put me as a prayer warrior and as a teacher in the children's church and whatever, because the Christian testimony apparently was visible. But it didn't allow me to join the church, but I could operate within the church under another church authority.
Okay.
And I respect that, and I think we need to have boundaries. I think there's certainly about an order for church membership, yes.
Okay.
Whether I agree with them or not, but I can understand them and have, I like the authority.
Okay. Yeah, great. Denominations, good or bad? Inevitable is true, but.
It depends on the belief of like Baptist versus us. Okay, I mean the only difference is we're both good Bible believing denominations, if you want to call it that. But the only difference is that their form of baptism is one dip and you know their communion services, and that's basically the only difference.
There really isn't much difference. My background's Baptist, Southern Baptist.
Yeah. So. Okay, but you got Lutheran, you've got Episcopal, you've got Anglican, you've got Church of God, you've got, and you just keep listing all of these off. Yeah.
And when I see them on a sign, I know I don't need to go.
But if, you know, with the history, I mean. They were all eventually, I mean, originally Bible-based, but, you know, now some of those quote-unquote denominations have strayed so far away from the Bible that,
Yeah. What do you think?
I guess a little bit of both, because, you know, in heaven there's no religion, so why do we have all these different? To me, it's just people arguing, so I'm going to start this denomination, or I'm going to start this denomination because I don't get along with you. So
you certainly have that in the beginning of some major Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So I don't know.
They call those denominations. They're both cults, but still.
A lot of churches have got away from the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, what do you think?
Well, I went to a non-denominational church in North Carolina. It was solid teaching, like, every week. And I had, like, a lot of friends from the Army who would never step foot in a church who were willing to go to that one because they felt welcome. And there was, like, they felt welcome. They welcomed everyone.
That's good.
And there was solid teaching and opportunities every weekend. So, I mean, I grew up Grace Brethren. I went to non-denominational. And, you know, I think there's pros and cons to
the independent non-denominational movement is huge.
Yeah.
There's a lot that aren't necessarily affiliating with.
That's what Tri-State is, isn't
group.
It?
Tri-State belongs to Evangelical Free Church.
Okay, EV Free.
I think that's more of a fellowship than a denomination.
Loosely. Yeah, loosely. Hannah?
I don't really know. For a long time, I went to United Methodist Church, so that was very.
That was my background.
Yeah, it's very different. But I don't know. I think that denominations like sometimes cause divide in Christianity. You know?
Okay. So which is the verse that he had us turn to? Romans 14. You can look at that, but about division.
I think it does cause division because I think that we all like. I grew up Catholic, so it's completely different from Christianity in general. But it definitely causes division.
So as an unbeliever from the outside looking on the Christian church, what's their opinion of denominations?
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah, can't even agree.
It's very selective, isn't it? In other words, I don't want to go to that church because they're Baptist.
Well, a lot of people don't want to go to church because they think
because the unbelievers essentially are saying, if you guys can't agree,
right?
Why should I come?
Why do I follow one of you guys or something?
And you can't tell an unbeliever. The reason is because some people refuse and they change the and it says, isn't that exactly what you're doing?
Yeah.
I think it's bad that there are denominations because ultimately there shouldn't be. Everybody should. In a perfect world, everybody should agree on exactly what the scripture says. It means what it means, it says what it says, and we all agree. But since we're not human, that's not going to happen. I appreciate having a sign out front that tells me don't bother going in.
Did you hear the story about the fellow that died and went to heaven and St. Peter's taking him on a tour? And he says, now this is Presbyterian Park down here, and this is Lutheran Lane, and this is Methodist Manor. And quiet. The guy says, what's the matter? He said, this is Baptist Boulevard, and they think they're the only ones up here.
I knew there was going to be a Baptist.
I
knew it.
I've heard him go there. Okay, so next week, nicely, I get to skip this one. You guys don't get to skip it, but I'm going to be preaching. So, topic is gluttony.
Oh, no.
So, I'll be preaching. Sorry, I won't be able to.
Will there be food?
Be a live demonstration of this. We'll have about four bowls of peanut M&M's and regular, and we'll talk about. Chapter 17 is gluttony. You guys will address that next week.
Well, who's gonna lead the class?
I will check to see if Barb would like to do that. Okay. She has done that. Otherwise, I will contact somebody. So that's the topic. Is
an interesting read.
Gluttony. And signing off. Let's see. Now, how do I get started?